Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back, Blood River Radio fans. I'm Mark Tommy, guest hosting for Eddie Miller today. We've got a really good second hour coming up here for you. We're going to be talking with Mr. Paul Fromm and Mr. Les Borey, two gentlemen from our neighbor up to the north, Canada. They have been in the thick of the fight for free speech in their home country, and So without further ado, I'm going to welcome you two gentlemen to the show and let you kind of pick it up from here to discuss some of the things that have been happening and your involvement in them.
Well, that's great. And Les and I have had a busy week. On Thursday, Les received the George Orwell Free Speech Award for 2026. The George Orwell Award was started back in, I believe, the late 1980s by Douglas Christie. He was the premier free speech lawyer of his generation from the 80s through to about 2010. And he passionately defended a number of the victims of thought control, prominently Jim Keekstra, an Alberta teacher, Ernst Sundel, a famous communicator and person who challenged the so-called Holocaust story and got into a lot of trouble. So it was, Christie came to the conclusion that we don't honor our own people enough. You know, maybe we're more the strong, silent type. We appreciate things, but we don't say too much. And maybe that's not such a good thing. And so he inaugurated the George Orwell Free Speech Award and gave it to people who had done something to promote freedom of speech. One of the first recipients was the chief librarian in the city of Edmonton, Alberta. And despite Jewish lobby pressure, he refused to remove books that questioned, the new religion of Holocaust. And that he was honored for that, and so on. Doug Christie died in 2013, and the Orwell Award was no longer given after that. His organization basically became extinct. That was the Canadian Free Speech League. So I kept thinking that, you know, it was a very good idea, and there are certainly many, many worthy people. Freedom of speech is it's fighting an ongoing battle in Canada. It's not as though we've got it all nailed down. We don't. We're under very severe attack. So I talked to his widow, and in 2021, the Canadian Association for Free Expression, we got a sponsor who puts up the annual, because it comes with a prize, not just a scroll or recognition. And so I started it up again in 2021, and for 2026, Les Borey is the George Orwell Free Speech recipient, and he, of course, and he'll tell you more about it. He had a podcast in the home city of Brantford, and he called Brantford News, and he is pretty outspoken about various things that threaten our country, particularly some of the Jewish power. And in 2023, he was charged under the hate law. He was arrested at work at gunpoint. That's very seldom done in Canada, unless you know you are armed or you're a bandit or a killer. And this is just brute police force. Make a point. You'd think less for a middle-aged man was some gangbanger desperado. And bail is really easy to get in Canada, especially if you're black and with a long criminal record. And it's actually a right in Canadian law. You are entitled to bail unless, and the unless has to be pretty serious. Despite the fact Lesbore had no criminal record or anything like that, he spent 23 months in prison, unable to get bail. So he really paid the price. There was a trial last year, and he was convicted of willfully promoting hate against one of our privileged groups, in this case Jews, and I never could figure this out, but also promoting genocide. The judge sentenced him to time served. Because I think even the judge thought that having his bail denied was really wrong. But both sides are appealing, so that's where it stands now. But we thought Les had done an amazing job, showing great courage, and has not given up. I mean, he's still politically very active. So maybe I could turn it over to Les. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought I did what I had to do, Paul, at the time. I always try to do things that benefit the Canadian people, and I try to inform the Americans as well and anyone else that's watching my broadcast all over the world on the internet, well, back in the day anyway, and I still try to be informative and accurate when I speak today. And basically, I saw what happened with the COVID, and it was almost one of my worst nightmares becoming realized is when someone's trying to forced you to take some poison, at gunpoint. The police were almost coming around our houses, making us take the vaccines. It was getting to that point. And I saw how bad things were, too. Like, people were actually dying from these things. It wasn't just our imagination. This was like the biggest psychological warfare operation combined with the chemical and biological element. And they put these things into our people. And 83% of the public, I believe, took these vaccines. That's a lot of damage done to the population of Canada. And at the same time, there were a lot of things going on, too. They're whipping up hate between white people and everybody else, and they're making it sound like white supremacists. And when people went to the protests in Ottawa, they got called white supremacists because the majority of the people there were white. And I was actually surprised to see so many white people in one place. I was starting to doubt if anybody had any balls left in our country. I was wondering, and if they did, I was wondering what ethnic group they're from, if anything. Although on that note, I've got to say, an awful lot of non-whites didn't drink the Kool-Aid, they helped us white folks to prevent this thing from rolling right over us. And, we joined forces kind of thing where, everybody that was left pretty much put their weight behind things and just refused. It was good. So that shut this down temporarily. Now they're back for more here with these potential energy lockdowns. But anyway, back to the initial issue. So I had a broadcast, and I had a channel on BitChute. It was called Brantford News, as Paul said. And I had also a friend of mine who had me on as a guest on the Revolution Radio Network. They thought maybe I should have my own show because people liked me when I spoke. And I thought, okay, sure, I'll do that, to get more reach, right, to talk to more people. And anyhow, so I got into it about a show and a half, right, and that was it because I dropped the caller at halftime. And I ended up recording it with my camera, although it wasn't broadcast live. And then that's the video that pretty much kicked off this whole thing with the police terrorism against me when they arrested me at work and they pointed guns at my wife and all kinds of stuff in the house. You know, it's just unreal. But basically, it was a broadcast and a half when a guy like me gets a chance to speak to the public during a time of crisis like this. Things can happen. And I said, well, we've got to stop these murders and we've got to arrest these people that are doing things. But first, we have to win the gunfight, so to speak. And I thought I'd ask people to come to my house with their guns and ammo, not to kill the police, but to disarm and arrest them, as I said. And basically, that was enough to make them scared because they know they're guilty of mass murder and all kinds of other things like terrorism as well, not just language terrorism. And so basically, I just did what I could do. And I didn't think anybody was going to come to my home. And I hear music in the background.
Hi, we're coming up on our first break, folks. We'll pick up the conversation the other side. So stick around for more.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you deserve
some money. Right. Welcome back, Blood River Radio listeners. We're talking with Paul Fromm and Les Borey from Canada, who are warriors in the fight for free speech. And gentlemen, during the break, we had a brief discussion, and I was wanted to start off this segment with posing the question that I did during the break about the apparent globally organized attempt to stifle our free speech, because you see what you fellows have been talking about in Canada, you see it happening here in the U.S. and, of course, all over Europe. I mean, you look at the U.K., France, and Germany, and places like that right now. You can't do or say anything that the police don't show up on your doorstep wanting to arrest you for a hate crime. So, kudos to you gentlemen for being willing to stand in the line of battle and continue to fight against this onslaught against our God-given freedom.
Yeah, and
well, thanks very much, Mark.
It's a very, very serious problem. And now and again, I think we still hear comments that we live in the free world. And I tell anybody who makes that comment, you know, they may do it innocently, but do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? then why is somebody less boring than I'd be? For comments he made on a podcast, nobody got hurt. Maybe some people were offended. Well, too bad. We have so deteriorated as a country in my lifetime. We have part of our constitution, but it's hardly ever mentioned, is something called the Canadian Bill of Rights, which was brought in by the Conservative government in 1960. And this is the beginning. You could not picture Canada today in these words. I'm a Canadian, a free Canadian, free to speak without fear, free to worship God in my own way, free to stand for what I think right, free to oppose what I believe wrong, free to choose those who govern my country. This heritage of freedom I pledge to uphold for myself and all mankind. And that's our former Prime Minister John Diefenbaker. I am a free Canadian, free to speak without fear. That's not Canada today, is it, Les?
No, it's not Canada today at all. And even in the past, this crept up on people. They didn't realize it was coming, kind of like the communism. Lenin, I don't quote the guy much, but basically he did say something one time that kind of is worth repeating, and it was an admission. And basically he said that when a country adopts a communist bank, they've been 90% communized. And what a communist bank is a bank that charges interest on money that's been printed out of thin air, because they never print the interest money, the money for the interest. So every time someone gets a loan, they print the money, but it's the other people's principal that gets used to pay that guy's loan back with the interest. So all these people are left without enough to pay their own principal back. And that's how the communists turn thin air into your into cash and prizes, pretty much, right? Your hard-earned money, and then they pull the rug out from you before you can even pay your home off or your mortgage off or your business loan off or anything like that. Not everyone has the money in the system. The money's not in the system for everyone to pay it back. There's always more debt than money because of the charging of interest, right? So when that Federal Reserve came into America, you guys were on your way to being communized, and a lot of weird things happened around that time. Establishment of government agencies happened to protect that bank and things like this, right? And so this has been a long time plan coming, or a plan that's been long developing, but it's been in place for a while. Some people had eyes on the world because they're taking over the world with these banking systems, right? So in Canada, right now, we can feel it big time. They're squeezing us hard. I think we're right behind England. England's just terrible. Australia as well. And it's no surprise that the police do whatever they're told to do. You know what I mean? And they're the occupation force, and that's why they were hired. And that's why they have all this immigration that causes crime, as well as our own folks when we're despoiled, right? The population's been despoiled, and that's one way to take over a nation, is to make it poor, right? So people lose hope. And when people lose hope, they don't really care about others as much, and they'll go and steal things and whatever else. I encountered a lot of these fellows in jail who I didn't think they were really evil people, but they did things to survive, right? So anyway, so all these plans in place are being protected by silence, right? If people were free to speak, other people would share our knowledge, but they're trying to suppress what we know. And I've only touched on it a little bit here, you know, just to give people a sense of what this can be. But the banking system is the crux of the issue. It is the root of the evil, this interest charging banking system. And I'm glad a man like what was his name? One of my favorite presidents of all time, Andrew Jackson. That man was unbelievable. He killed the bank. It's on his headstone. That I don't give a crap if he's a Freemason or not. He did a good job there. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. He was the man on that. A guy tried to kill him and ended up beating the crap out of him with old Hickory there. He gave his own guys crap for pulling him off the guy. So he's my kind of president, this guy. I'm not like a big hooligan, but I like a little bit of balls. And Andrew Jackson was like pure balls, 100% balls. And that guy was pure goodness and things like that, for risking his life to bring in an interest-free banking system. But anyhow, that's what we got going on. And basically, this silence is used to protect a lot of things. Basically, I think that Israel has a mandate to kill every single member of their religion, we'll say, all over the world, right? And basically, they seem to be proving me right. They're getting all their governments that they control are trying to shift us into World War III mode here. They predicted it would happen. I guess they just have to have their way. You know, if people in the militaries around the world grew some balls, they could, stop this. But basically, yeah, the speech laws are to stop us from stopping them, and that's what it is, from exposing them.
You know, it's funny how much agreement of thought there is between folks like us who have actually, as I said in the first segment, wiped, at least in the case of the U.S., have wiped the star-spangled fairy dust out of their eyes and opened them up to see what's really going on. Because I've said a lot of the same things that you fellas have said. Number one, about the idea, Paul, you mentioned about living in a free country. I think it's mass psychosis, and it's a comfortable delusion that people repeat like a mantra to keep themselves calmed down. But that's all it is. It's a fairy tale. If we really lived in a free country, we wouldn't be putting up with all of the nonsense that we are. And the thing that you said too, Les, about Israel wanting to wipe out all the goyim. I saw an article, a friend of mine sent a text message to me the other night. Israel, just yesterday, I think it was, bombed a port somewhere there in the Middle East that it was a major Russian shipping terminal. And now the Russians are talking about a calculated response to this and whatnot. And part of the message that I heard was that the reason the Israelis did that was because they were pissed off that the U.S. hadn't put boots on the ground in Iran yet.
It's pathetic. And history will wonder at how a tiny minority, Jews are 2% of the United States, got such control over the most powerful economic and economic and military nation of its time, to leading it around like a show horse on display. It is pathetic. America has become Israel's bitch.
Absolutely.
War is, I'm not a pacifist. I believe in just war and so on. But war is always a dangerous thing to get into. You want to not get into it frivolously. And I'm thinking of the way a world collapsed. The world was very different in 1914. It had gone through Europe. Most of Europe had gone through an industrial revolution, rapid increase in education and standards of living, and modern conveniences, not by our standards, but by theirs. And suddenly in 1914, it all collapsed. Most of Europe was ruled by monarchies. 5 years later, most of them would have fallen. Well, what happened? Person who's motivated by the Freemasons and the Serbian Secret Service assassinated the heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne. Okay, there was righteous anger, and Austria-Hungary attacked Serbia to punish it. But then, because of alliances, suddenly, click, 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 all the European powers lined up on one side or another. I'll continue reading that.
Yeah, and mass slaughter ensued. Hold on through the break, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of this very thing discussion.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Iran-backed Houthis are entering the month-long war and could further threaten shipping.
The Yemen Houthis' entry to the war could further hurt global supply routes targeting vessels in the Bab el Mandeb Strait off the Red Sea. Ahmed Naghi, a senior Yemen analyst at the International Crisis Group, says if the Houthis increase attacks on commercial shipping, as they have in the past, it would further push up oil prices and destabilize all of maritime security. Naghi adds the impact would not be limited to the energy market. Countries have scrambled for alternative routes to the Strait of Hormuz. Bab el Mandeb, at the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula, is crucial for vessels heading to the Suez Canal through the Red Sea. I'm Charles de Lethesma.
Senator James Lankford has nothing but praise for Operation Epic Fury.
The performance of the American military has been stellar. I don't think anyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, would challenge that at all. Based on open source and by classified information, they've moved at tremendous speed and professionalism. All of these operations are incredibly complicated.
Senator Lankford, an Oklahoma Republican, made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. Public policy expert Matthew Continetti says people in this country believe Iran's leaders are evil.
When you've looked at American public opinion prior to the launch of Operation Epic Fury, Americans have understood the Iranian regime for what it is. It's the world's largest sponsor of terrorism. It's killed Americans. It's held our people hostage. It's attacked our allies. It's oppressed its own people.
Continetti made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. The four astronauts making NASA's next lunar leap bear little resemblance to the Apollo era, the Americans who blazed the trail to the moon more than half a century ago. More on these stories, townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created ThinkFactor. ThinkFactor is designed to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus. You can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. After a couple of weeks of taking ThinkFactor, I noticed a dramatic difference in my clarity, my focus, even my memory. And you know what? The longer you take ThinkFactor, the better the results are. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, well, ThinkFactor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive in your life. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, to order ThinkFactor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com. Your first bottle, just $19.95. ThinkFactor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
All right, Blood River Radio fans, welcome back for the second half of the hour here with Paul Fromm and Les Borey. Les, wanted to make a quick comment as we start this part of the program of something you said during that last segment. About the banking interests controlling everything. Down here in Dixie, we have a saying that says, "He who pays the piper calls the tune." And the reason that the U.S., as Paul put it, is Israel's bitch is because the international banking cartels are all controlled by Jews. Whether it's the Federal Reserve or the Bank of England or the Deutsche Bank or any other big central banking outfit throughout the world, from the Rothschilds in the 1700s all the way down to today, it's the Jews who own and control all of that financing. And so when they're the ones that are loaning the money to the U.S. government in order to for it to fund its activities, if they want the U.S. to do something, then they're going to have to do it or else the tap gets turned off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what I was saying just before the break, go ahead, Les.
Oh, sure, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a true statement there, Mark. But the thing is, America's got a lot of guns. You know, they got a big army. I mean, they could tell the Rothschilds to take it easy. You know, they need to get the hell out, right? Because Israel controls America, and Israel's done, it seems to me, a lot of bad things to America. And the U.S. military really should be neutralizing Israel to save the world. You know, they should be definitely changing the regime in Israel for sure. And there's no question about that in my eyes, right, in my mind. And basically, one of the Rothschilds in the old days said that he doesn't care who makes the laws if he's printing the people's money. Now, I paraphrase very poorly there, but it comes down to whoever prints the money is, in fact, in control, as you said, right? But there's no way America should be paying a national debt to these Israelis who did 9/11. I mean, that's just like, you know, do I need to explain? You know what I'm saying? And then this Epstein Island stuff, too. Basically, the Rothschilds own Israel, a la Balfour Declaration, 1917, right? And the whole second half of the First World War was fought to dislodge the state of Palestine from the Ottoman Empire. And both sides of the war, both the Allies, like our side and the German side, they both lost people while this was going on. You know, this is 1917, the war could have been over, as Benjamin Friedman stated. And there was some peace overtures given by the Germans, who were like way in control of the war there. I mean, the Germans were kicking ass in 1916. They offered to give back all the territory that they captured in exchange for peace, right? Just go back to how things were at the beginning of the war, and we'll forget about this whole matter. 2 years into the war, well, they dragged the war on for another couple of years, and how many guys lost their lives in that? And just to give Palestine over to the Zionists, as it was called, as they were called in the Balfour Declaration. And in the Balfour Declaration starts out with the word, "Dear Lord Rothschild." So basically, they name the owners of Israel, and that's the bill of sale for that land that's occupied Palestine, now known as the State of Israel, that's killing everything. It's just amazing, raping everything, too, while they're at it. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. And they've got videos showing things as well, which is extra disgusting, but it is evidence. To show people that we're not out of our minds when we discuss these things anymore. You know, it's amazing, trying to tell people certain things. They look at you like you're some kind of maniac because of all these stories that have built up over time in the Zionist bankers' media. You know, so basically, America, you guys don't need to pay any kind of a national debt to anybody because they can't make you pay it. And besides, everything was illegal, right? You shouldn't have to pay a debt, number one, where there's never enough money to pay the debt. And then number two, it's a generational debt. They want you to pass the debt down to your children and their grandchildren and so on. I've never heard of this kind of thing before. It doesn't even seem legal, right? So they want you to do that, to pay a generational debt. That can't even be paid. So there you go. And also, one more thing, like I mentioned, these guys are genocidal pedophiles and then plus whatever, right? I mean, you know, the list is as long as your leg as to what they've been doing and what they seem to plan to be doing. You know what I mean? And so I don't think our predictions are too far-fetched after seeing what they've done in the past. I mean, we'd be hateful if we didn't help our people. We'd be cowards. You know, you have to get out there and tell people what you think if you're trying to lead them. Otherwise, you're just leading them like a Judas goat. You're doing it improperly. You're going to kick off to the left and let your people go to the slaughter, and you're just going to get a little extra feed or, you know, money in this case, right? So, no, it's up to us to speak up. And you Americans are doing a hell of a lot of our heavy lifting because you can speak more freely than we can. And that Canadians can tune into your networks, be it on the internet or radio programs on the internet or videos and things like that, like a live streaming broadcast. Like we stream on ftjmedia.com, and basically that's your counterpart basically in this fight, guys. Basically, you're the radio end of things, and these guys give a little bit of video at that, you know. And we're all in the same fight together, and we should definitely unite. And, you know, save America, save Canada, save the world from these people. You know, it's unreal. Save Western civilization. Because once Western civilization's taken care of, like destroyed, basically the rest of the world will follow. All the non-whites are going to get smoked. So basically all you Christians out there, you've got good hearts and are white people first. Know this, by saving the white race, you're doing the rest of the world a great service. Because once we get the upper hand, hopefully these bankers will never come back because of good education, and we'll never let our people fall for these interest charging tricks again. And that's how we're going to keep these people away. You know, it's just a matter of people organizing right now. And basically, if you don't have a party to vote for that's going to give you interest-free banking, they're compromised at that point. You have no hope. So you're going to have to organize yourselves into political movements that charge no interest on money that's printed out of thin air. And then you can back your currency with labor, get rid of taxation, which causes inflation as well, just like interest rates do. And basically, you're doing pretty good at that point. And never give up your guns if you can help it. I mean, thing is, though, all these guys that have guns in America right now, I mean, I'm not suggesting nothing, but I'll tell you what, I'll point something out. No one's done anything. And basically, they're sitting on their ammo hoping it hatches into freedom, which they'll never do. So you might as well forget about that. Save your guns for shooting squirrels, whatever you're going to do, shoot some animals, or, you know, whatever you want, targets. But I tell you what, you want to make a big change? Basically, the only stomach people seem to have anymore is for political change, because no one's going to do the George Washington thing and take this matter into their own hands. So, you know, like militarily, I recommend you take this matter into your hands politically and take part in the corrupt system and make it honest. You know what I mean? It's possible. We're trying to do that in Canada right now. Paul Fromm and I are working politically. Paul's with me in the party, and I'm sure he's going to run for office. Paul's run many times before. We have the best platform going in all Canada, probably in the world, to tell you the truth, because we're doing things right, that's all. Other people can do things equally as well as we can if they follow our example, or maybe even give us a couple pointers on how to do things a bit better if they can manage that, which they might be able to. I'm glad to learn from other people if they're smart folks, right? So basically, the banking system, yeah, is in control of things, but America has options. America has balls, hopefully, right? We don't know yet. I haven't seen too many examples of that. Unfortunately, when it comes to the military, they should be standing up to Mr. Trump right now, mutinying and getting this guy out of office and giving the reins of power to the American people. But they're not doing that. So they need to do that because it makes no sense for them to go and participate in bringing the world into World War III when they can just end this right now. And then just bring peace to the world. Tell Iran, sorry about killing you guys. You didn't do anything to us. And go and make sure Israel doesn't misbehave again and police Israel up and, do a regime change in Israel. I mean, what's the problem? I don't even see why these guys aren't even doing it now. I mean, where's the balls? I mean, you got Delta Force, you got these guys. They'll go to other places. Why don't they just go and fix their own country? That's what they should be doing, or at least run for office then if they don't want to do that, whatever. But they need to arrest these people that are going around murdering people. This is unbelievable what's going on. This isn't me being against democracy or elected representation, believe me. This is correcting some big deals. You know, and I completely believe in the democratic process and then peaceful change. And nothing says that if the military shows up with a supreme amount of force, we'll say more than overwhelming force. Basically, at that point, you don't need to fire a bullet because everybody's hands go up and it's a peaceful change of regime. And those guys can go to jail at that point that did all these things on Epstein's Island and did these things to Americans. Just having that Federal Reserve Bank is a reason for changing your regime, like right away, instantly. If they don't talk about that, you know they're corrupt. If they're going to take your speech rights away, they're corrupt. If they're taking your guns away, they're super corrupt. You know what I mean? And I was talking earlier, and I think I concluded that.
We're on the threshold of another break here, folks. Hang tight, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after we hear from sponsor.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
All right, welcome back, folks. We're still here with Paul Fromm and Les Berry. You know, Les, you made a lot of good points in that last segment, but, you know, there's one other thing as a Southern nationalist here in the South that I would like to throw out is that, you know, the way we see it here in the U.S., the system, working within the system is a fool's errand. The system won't allow itself to be reformed. It doesn't want to be reformed. And when you reach that point, then escape from the system is the only option that you have left. You know, when all the candidates they put up are going to pursue the same policies, no matter what party they're in, you can stand on the street corner and hold your signs and yell through your bullhorn all you want, and all they're going to do is laugh at you. They don't give a rat's rear end one way or the other. And so when you can't get the system to respond, then you have two choices. You either start a war with the system, an actual shooting war with the system, or you just withdraw from it. And secession is the at least has the greater chance of being the more peaceful solution. There's nothing to say that the regime might not try to stop you, but one of the things that we've discussed in our Southern independence movement here is that the regime is so corrupt and weak and has lost so much moral authority that, especially around the world, you know, there have been some recent polls in the last few years that have showed that the U.S. is the most hated regime on the face of the planet. So they would probably, like the old Soviet Union broke up through peaceful secession of its Baltic republics, the U.S. empire could be broken up the same way, and they wouldn't have the moral or financial wherewithal to do anything to stop it.
Yes, I was sort of trying to drive at that a few minutes ago. Things collapse quickly when the majority of people no longer believe. That's what happened to the former Soviet Union. Gradually, the economic incompetence and corruption began to collapse. But in the final days, nobody really wanted to fight for it. The army wasn't prepared to turn its guns on its own people. Because really, even party members didn't believe. They knew that the West was far better off, even though they'd be brought up, you know, on stories of how it was a Simon Legree sort of place, workers, toiling in wretched conditions, and the capitalists living high on the hog. They began to realize that the average worker in the West was far better off than anybody in the old Soviet Union except the top commissars. They really didn't fed a bunch of lies. And I see that happening now, especially with this war. What I was trying to drive at a bit earlier was that when the First World War began, there was a lot of romantic wishful thinking. Europe hadn't thought of a full European war for 100 years since Napoleon, and people thought, well, we can. The officers will ride their horses in their flashy uniforms, and we'll march off to war. This will be in August 1914, and the boys will be home by Christmas, and we'll have won a wonderful victory. Well, they were delusional. By the time it was all over, half the monarchies of Europe had fallen. 40 million people were dead, and the world would never be the same. And that is what I worry about. They don't even call it war, but Israel attacked Iran, and then the United States came in, and terrible things have been done. I'm no fan of the Ayatollah, and I'm not a Muslim, and I don't like Islam, and blah, 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 blah. But that's not to say that terrible things weren't done. The Israelis are nothing more than criminal assassins. They hadn't even declared war, but they assassinated the leader of another country, the Ayatollah Khomeini. They apparently assassinated much of the top intelligence and military people. A few days later, some committee was meeting to decide on a replacement leader. They were assassinated, and just I think it was yesterday, the Navy, the Iranian Navy was assassinated. I mean, this just isn't done. I've studied the last 500 years of European history, and I can't see any case where one side tried to assassinate the leader of the other side. Yes, some leaders died in battle, like in 1066, the last Saxon king, Harald Hardrada, died on the battlefield against the Norman French. But like in the First World War, there was no attempt by the British to assassinate the German Kaiser or the German Chancellor, or vice versa, to assassinate the British king or the British prime minister. Even in the Second World War, that wasn't done. Even in the religious wars, where there was so much hatred, the Protestants didn't try to assassinate the Pope. A big, big line is being crossed by those Israelis. They're out of control, and they've actually been assassinating their perceived enemies for years. Just look at the headlines of the last year or so. Israelis raided Beirut and they killed somebody or other. They raided Damascus and killed somebody or other. They raided Doha, and they were trying to assassinate the man they were negotiating with about 6 months ago. Even Trump got a bit upset about that. They missed him, but they killed somebody else. But they're out of control. They're the, you know, on your news broadcast, they were talking about the dangers of Iran as a major sponsor of terrorism. They may well be sponsoring such things. Well, what about the Israelis? I mean, they're stone cold killers. We've just passed a law through our House of Commons criminalizing the display of hate symbols, which are defined as symbol of a designated terrorist group, and plus the swastika. I don't know how the swastika got into that, but I would say if we're going to have such a law, and we shouldn't, but if we are, then, I would insist that the Israeli flag be there. That they're a nation of assassins, and I consider that terrorism. I really worry about, about 8 months ago, Trump boasted that they attacked Iran and they'd blown up their nuclear facilities. A total victory, blah, blah, blah. And now again, we're told Iran's on the verge of a nuclear weapon. You truly don't know what to believe. I think they're lying.
Oh, if there's an old saying that I've heard thrown around since I was a kid when it comes to government officials, if their lips are moving, they're lying. And so there's that. And as far as the Israelis go, I couldn't agree more. And I think that our Lord Jesus Christ laid the indictment on them very well from his own mouth when he said they are of their father, the devil.
I said
it's in the Bible.
Sorry, I can hardly hear. Sorry, brother. Basically, what you were talking about earlier about regime change in America and how it was going to happen, or whether you guys are going to try to make that happen, or whether you're going to just try and do some kind of a return to the land kind of move, and you're right, they're not going to leave you alone. That's the thing. Fight or flight, basically fight is going to happen no matter what. You know, you can flee, but it's not, you're not going to get away from these guys. You know, they got drones. They're going to have unmanned vehicles that go through the forest looking for people, or maybe little drones will be flying around there searching for people. Survivors, we'll call it. They probably have thermal imaging sensors, and they'll, you know, pick you up here and there, even if you have countermeasures to that. I mean, they might catch you in a moment when you're not paying attention or something like that. They'll get you. You know, you have to fight now. The longer people wait, the worse it is. I was reading, I read a bit of Machiavelli when I was in jail, and it just makes sense that when there's a pending fight, the worst thing you can do is wait. It just gives your enemy a chance to set up and dial you in better. That's obviously I'm paraphrasing. But basically, when there's a war to be fought, it should be fought quickly. Now, you have choices. How do you want to fight this war? You don't have to take to the guns, even though if you guys were organized, boy, it would be over in an hour. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be much. It would just be like, you know, lay on the lawn, bad guys, and we'll come and pick you up with the trucks, and then we'll see what we do with you after that. That's what it would be. But really, you don't have that because you don't have organization, especially the white folks. I've never seen more disorganization in my life from any ethnic group there is. Other people seem to organize without having to say anything. It seems like they have a bit of a hive mind. We noticed that in jail as well. A lot of the minorities, even when they were...
Oh, looks like we're coming up on the end of the hour, folks. I'm sorry to have to cut it short here. I would love to have this conversation go on for a while longer, but Paul and Les, thank you both for coming on today. It's been a pleasure discussing these things with you, and I'm sure Eddie will extend an invitation to have you back again soon.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
Good day,
everyone.
Hang on, brother.